listening to Every Voice Matters with Dori Francis, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome today. This is Dori Francis with Every Voice Matters, and I am really excited about our guest today. Number one, they're local here in Colorado. Number two, they are coffee roasters and also have a nonprofit, which I'm really excited to learn more about and have you learn more about. And coffee is a passion for me. So we were just talking about how it's considered a food group. So during COVID, they were allowed to continue because it is essential. So for those of us who are coffee lovers, yes, coffee is essential. So today my guest is Aaron and his wife Jessica Harsh. Good morning. How are you? Or afternoon?
Hello.
It's morning for people. It's afternoon for us.
Yes.
So glad to have you both here today. We were just talking about how Aaron got started roasting coffee.
Right.
And he started with a Whirly Pop crank handle popcorn maker. I had to actually ask him what that was. Why don't you show us?
Yeah, no doubt. There it is. The original right here.
So that is where Redemption Coffee started.
Yeah. A pop with a top and a handle with gears. And
oh my God.
You just stand there on your stove and you just turn this crank for 10 minutes or so and makes a coffee. Yeah.
With smoke.
That's right. Yeah, Jess wasn't always so happy though.
Yeah.
Right.
But then your friends, you started sharing your coffee with friends and they started saying you make great coffee. So
yeah, we actually had a 4th of July party when somebody showed me another version of making coffee at home with an air popper. So like the old school air popper.
Oh, those are, yeah.
Right, exactly. So he would put beans in there and the hot air would spin them around and this thing was smoking like crazy and making these weird noises, like screeching noises. It was nuts. And I was like, there's got to be a better way than that to make coffee. And so I started doing my own research and came across this method. And
wow.
It was just really fun. I think one of my passions is just trying coffees from all over the world. You know, so many different countries make coffee.
Yes.
Or I should say grow coffee.
Right.
And I just think it's so much fun to try these different lots all over the planet. And so that's what I did. And it was cheaper than buying coffee for a while when we didn't have as much funds. I was
back in the college days.
That's right. I was getting my master's degree and this is working.
Yep.
So
yep.
It was fun.
So I started drinking coffee when I was 9. I grew up in an Italian household and the grandparents would make espresso coffee every morning on the stove in this little coffee maker thing. And I always wanted. So really it started out more milk and sugar with a little coffee, but, over the years, I just really grew into being a coffee lover and never stopped.
Those stovetop like espresso, it's kind of like espresso.
Yes.
Those are really cool.
Yeah.
They were pretty neat.
I can't pronounce the name of it, but it's really cool.
Yeah, we have one.
Yeah.
You have one.
Yeah, we do.
Because before we could afford an espresso machine,
we wanted to taste
what our espresso tasted like or as close to it as we could. So I could kind of dial in the roast to see if I was getting good flavor notes out of this. We use Guatemala for our espresso roast. And I was wanting to make sure I was getting good flavor notes. So I bought one of those off, I think, Amazon or some site like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we tried a few batches on our stovetop to make sure that the flavor profile was similar to what we wanted.
So are you not bouncing off the walls all day from drinking coffee?
I think we're pretty disciplined about it.
We limit ourselves and then we switch to decaf at a certain hour of max consumption.
That's right. And not every day is testing. You've dialed in, we've dialed in.
If you ever need volunteer testers, please call me.
You got it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I will say when – I guess it was maybe 5 years ago, I got to tour Starbucks in Seattle.
Cool.
Their facility where they do coffee tasting.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
start everything out there.
And just the art of what you go through to just do that. it's like wine tasters, but they're coffee tasters.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's nice. Exactly. Yeah, I'd rather do the coffee.
I agree with you.
And then you also started a nonprofit.
That's right.
Called Redemption Road.
Uh huh.
And we're gonna find out more about that, you know, as well, because you're really doing some wonderful things for a lot of wonderful people. And so when people actually buy your coffee, it helps supporting families as well. And right. I'm excited to learn more about, you know, what you're doing and how people can learn more information about that. We've got a lot of questions that came in.
That's so fun.
I know, from all over the U.S. because, you know, everybody loves coffee. So, you know, Nicole in Connecticut said, how did you get started in this business? I mean, what were you doing? What led you to go, oh, I want to be a coffee roaster?
A friend, actually, believe it or not, one of our best friends. So I started the not-for-profit first, and we were running men's weekends. Okay. Which basically I run men's weekends, and we started a house church as well. And the men's weekends are a way to help men get healing from different wounds they have in their life and help them more effectively live their faith. And so I was beginning to think, so how do we fund this?
Okay.
I don't always want to be dependent on people giving money. Yeah. You know, people work hard for their money. And I don't want to be somebody who's like always asking for handouts. Now, I'm not trying to say anything.
No, I understand.
It's just hard, right? And so my buddy was drinking our coffee that I had just roasted a couple of days ago on the stovetop with that whirly pop. And he was like, man, this coffee is really good. You should sell it to support the ministry.
Yeah.
And it was that phrase that just kind of like, I don't know how to describe it, like downloaded this vision in my heart. And I was like, the idea bloomed in my mind was
the vision was
planted. But then the idea was businesses can get exponentially large, right? And then what if somebody were to use a business to fund good, exclusively, right? And so that's our vision, is to grow a coffee company that will exclusively fund good. And so as this interview unfolds, you'll see that literally everything we do is intentional about funding good somewhere in the world, or really across the world.
That is really just so amazing. And yes, and we're going to, I just want to talk so much more about that.
Yeah. So that's how we started.
Yeah.
A buddy say the simple phrase.
And that's how things get born sometimes. Right. I mean, is somebody asks a simple question or makes a comment and you're just in the right place at the right time.
Right.
And it resonates with you.
That's right.
Yeah. And that's, you know, it was good that you were present and
exactly,
and just allowed that to happen. So what a blessing.
Yeah. Because I had been roasting for, let's see, 6 years.
Right. Oh, really?
I had been home roasting for 6 years. Like, this wasn't like new.
Nope. Not at all. That's just the timing.
Yeah.
It was the perfect beginning.
So Melissa in Virginia says, you know, how much do you know about coffee? Well, evidently you know a lot.
Yes. I think it's responsible for us to know our industry really well. One of the things we strive for is high quality. And so I'd like to say we have high quality at an affordable price. We believe that everybody should be able to afford the high quality. And so we purposely buy top of the line equipment, and I've, you know, studied roasting for a very long time and, you know, all this kind of stuff. So
I had your Guatemalan coffee this morning. So
there you go.
Yeah. One of my very favorites.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Tanya in Durango says, you know, how fresh is your coffee and what quality control measures do you take? So obviously you're buying beans, right, that are being shipped in to you.
Yeah.
And then how do you keep those fresh for the period of time you have them as you roast them before they get distributed?
Yeah. You want to talk about it?
Oh, you can.
Okay, sure. So we buy coffee purposely in what's called grain pro bags. So imagine like a Ziploc bag without the lock part at the top. So it's a plastic liner inside a burlap sack. And this liner keeps the coffee fresh. So there's basically no flavor loss, or maybe 1 or 2 points of flavor loss over the course of like a year.
Yeah.
Wow.
And temperature
right.
control is really important too. So in our shop, we have like the right temperature between like 60 degrees and 70, 75, sometimes in the summer. That also helps with the freshness of the coffee, the green beans before they're roasted.
Yeah.
And the other thing we do on the roasting side of things is we roast coffee every Tuesday. So the coffee that you're getting to your home or to your business is roasted typically within that week. We like to keep coffee at optimum freshness because that helps with the taste and the flavor profile of the coffee that Aaron's roasting on Tuesdays.
So. We try to regularly run out of coffee.
Always fresh. So you might wait a day or two more for your order because you need to roast it on that Tuesday. And
sometimes if you run out, like on like today, for example, on Thursday, we'll roast on Friday.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. But we literally are trying to run out of coffee.
Right.
Okay. So we never roast and then it sit on a shelf. That doesn't happen.
It's in and it's out.
Right.
That's right.
Because our desire is for it to be fresh.
Yeah.
Okay. Right?
Yeah. And actually, that's actually one of the reasons why we're not in grocery stores because they order for 3 months typically.
Oh, and then it sits.
And I've been able to taste coffee flavor. And somebody with an even better palate than me probably could taste it sooner, but I can definitely taste flavor loss within a month of the roast. So we've kind of done testing on like how long does it take for us to detect like more like stale coffee or coffee beginning the process of stale. And we find that if you don't drink your coffee within a month, generally we can taste the difference
that it starts
at or around a month.
And you can even smell the difference of like fresh coffee versus coffee that's been sitting around for a while. It doesn't smell like an exciting and
kind of begins to smell a little papery.
Yeah. That's right. Exactly.
That's our experience. Yeah.
When I was in college, you know, I mean, I had been spoiled by fresh coffee growing up. And when I went to college, it was like, I went to the grocery store. And I think about like Folgers, because you were on such a tight budget.
Absolutely.
Same. That's how come
you not drink it. Yeah. I just said, can't do it.
I know.
So it was my one expense of I'm just going to spend more money to buy this fresh roasted coffee.
Yeah. That makes sense to us.
That was our exact dilemma. We know.
It was terrible. Jeffrey, and no offense, Folgers, but
there's a market for everybody.
Yes, there is. I love it.
Dan in San Francisco says, how does roasting affect the coffee flavor?
Oh, man.
Oh,
it's 100%.
Yeah.
100%. There's no way. You can't just take a green coffee bean and brew it.
Okay.
So coffee, I'll do a little more in depth.
Green when they come in?
What's that?
Are all the beans green when they come in?
Yeah. Hey, Jess, would you mind grabbing some of the green coffee?
Oh, yeah. I'll show you. Just
behind the camera.
Yeah. Okay.
So while she does that, I'll tell you a little about it. So coffee is think of like a cherry you eat during the summer.
Okay.
It's similar to that in color and size, but on the inside of that cherry, instead of having one pit, you have two. And the coffee cherry, if a coffee, it looks like this, right? Generally speaking, then you have two of them. One's like this. So they're sitting inside the cherry like this and they're green, right? Which one is this one, baby?
That is a decaf, actually.
Oh, decaf. Okay. So it'll be a little discolored because it's caffeinated.
It's not as
green. Can I get it on the screen?
Yeah. There you go.
A little bit. Here, I'll take it with my hand and we just won't use this. So you could kind of see here the green coffee.
Oh yeah.
Right.
And so really tiny and dense.
Yeah. So green coffee, then the coffee is processed and dried, and by processed it means it's like taken out of the cherry flesh and dried on generally pavement, like concrete patios, or drying beds that are off the ground. Yeah. Either one. And then after that, it's packaged and sent to me. And so what I do then is I put it into a drum roaster, which is just a big drum that has like fins in it that turn the coffee around and spin. And then we apply heat and we apply airflow to the coffee. And depending on how much heat I apply and how much airflow I apply at what levels, along with the spinning process, how fast or slow the drum is spinning, I can actually manipulate flavors and bring out the flavor profile I'm going for.
It's considered caramelizing. Like yes. You're caramelizing the coffee to bring out the optimum, like different flavor notes that you are wanting in the coffee.
Right.
So it's actually like kind of twofold in what you end up as the taste. The roaster has a huge, huge part of it and what Aaron does to manipulate and change the airflow and the gas.
Right.
But you're also working with the farm,
yeah.
where it's from. What was the soil like? What was the temperature variation? So you have those two pieces.
And every year's crop is different.
And every crop from year to year can be different.
Well, you have to stay on top of it to
what's going on
and taking place. Mm-hmm.
That's why we do, like you were referring to, like wine tasting. We do coffee tasting and coffee cupping to be able to catch those variations and changes and be able to delineate like what the flavor profile of the coffee is.
So, right.
Yeah.
Jeffrey,
I know it was a complex answer, but it was kind of a complex question.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's obviously it's not an easy process.
Right.
You know,
Put the, there's more to say on that, but I think that if you go too deep, it might be not.
I think it's for me. I have an interest. I think for coffee lovers, they have an interest,
right?
You know, in just. Seeing how the process brings it to the table, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yes. There's a lot involved.
There is a lot. It's way more than you just like put coffee in a roaster and then walk away. You definitely don't do that. Yeah. Well, I should say we don't do that.
We don't.
I don't know if the roasters do that,
but we definitely don't do that.
Yeah, smaller batch roasters and more specialty roasters won't do that. Some of the bigger brands have like machine and equipment that you can just dump it in, set it up for you.
Right.
So yeah. That's what makes us a little different, small batch roasting.
Well, there's a lot of things that make you different.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's one of them.
Jeffrey and Boulder asked, do you flavor any of your coffees? And if so, do you use separate equipment for that?
We don't do any flavoring of the coffee.
I don't remember seeing on your website any flavored coffee.
Yeah, that's right. It does require separate equipment, and then you're adding oils to the coffee. Mm. Our preference, because it kind of aligns with our mission, is that we pay attention to a variety of the natural flavor notes and have like 9 to 10 different coffees that offer different natural occurring flavor notes. And the part of the reason we do that is each one of our coffees has a uniqueness to it because we want to support a specific cause in the region that it's coming from.
Okay.
So all of our coffees, like you mentioned, the Guatemalan, that's a women's producer and it puts money towards their agricultural education.
Right.
Intentionally, we want to hold like what the story is of the coffee supporting good and then also have like different unique flavor notes to the coffee.
Right.
You can always, I know I've purchased several different copies of yours, and sometimes I'll mix those together to get
absolutely
different taste. But I'm not much into flavored coffee like vanilla and I like true coffee.
Yes.
Well, it's interesting. There's like old school specialty coffee, and then I would say like new school specialty coffee. And so old school would be more of like the flavored coffees.
Yeah.
Right. So your hazelnut, your snickerdoodle, your whatever flavor they call that specialty coffee. Yes.
Okay.
That's fine. But in the new school specialty coffee, which is what we do, it's actually on a grading system. And so we've talked about this cupping process a few times.
Right.
So all the coffee we buy is graded by professional cuppers. And so coffee is graded on 0 to 100 scale.
Oh, okay.
And most coffee, there's a couple categories. Most coffee is commodity coffee, which is what you get in the Folgers and in the grocery store, generally speaking. And that is 60 to 70 score, somewhere in that range. And then there's specialty coffee, which is 80 and above. And if you're buying coffee 80 and above, you're buying high quality specialty coffee. And it means that the coffee is good enough to drink without blending. So we don't blend it with other coffees. I mean, it's not bad that somebody else does,
and
right?
And some people
but we just choose
it.
Not to. Yeah. partially because that goes back to how I started the company, right? What did I love? I love to try coffees from around the world.
Right.
That was one of my passions.
Specifically supporting a cause and giving them the glory of like, hey, this is what they're doing. And you can have so much variety. Like we have chocolate to berry to citrus, all those varieties just in and its beauty of itself. So that's kind of a beautiful simplicity that we love to do.
Super excited about it.
Well, Jason in Hawaii says, tell us about your cause. So let's talk about that.
Yeah. Absolutely. So our cause is for the coffee company to purposely pick lots of coffee from around the world that have social programs on the at the farm level that give back to the local communities. So we actually don't sell a coffee that doesn't have some form of a social cause at the local level.
Right.
So they might be too small to afford a certification because sometimes they can't afford the organic certification or whatnot.
Oh, okay.
But we've talked to the farmers directly or the people we work with at Agora. That's the people we buy coffee through. They've talked to the people at the farm or they visited the farm directly. One of those two have happened.
Okay.
And they've confirmed that conditions on the farm are, of course, humane, like but beyond humane. Like they give back, you know, like I think humane education is like too low of a standard. Like, that's not really honorable. It's like, what are they, you know, they're giving free education. They're giving free health care. They're building wells. They're taking care of schools. Like these are these are just a variety of things that we support. You know, through just buying the coffee. Like all we need to do is buy their coffee and then they're funding these things. Right.
Yeah.
Wow. That's such a wonderful blessing.
Yeah. It's really fun.
Yeah. Another huge component of like what we stand for as a business is we do the farms, but we also love local causes and local things. So we do have our own not-for-profit that we somewhat support. But usually for our coffee business, pretty much every choice that we're making, like giving away coffee to like schools and fighting against sex trafficking is a huge thing that we love doing. We're actually on June 7th sponsoring a golf tournament that
this is cool.
Tell
us about that.
June 7th. If anybody's free, they can email us and I can send the information to golf, and all of the money goes towards something called the Anchor House.
It's in Broomfield.
In Broomfield. It's a house that's being built to help people that are transitioning out of the foster care system to help
aging out.
They're aging out.
Aging out. To teach them how to transition, how to get a job, how to do things to prevent the horrendous statistic of them going into drugs and alcohol.
Homelessness.
And homelessness. Yes. Exactly. Right. So we're so excited. The coffee proceeds, not only at the farm level, but just locally and in the community. We love funding good because that's our heart.
Coffee for the soul.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
It sounds a little ethereal, but this is what it is practically.
Love that.
Those souls matter. It's
1400,
and they matter. Absolutely. And we want to be able to support them as much as we can.
That's wonderful. I won't be here on June 7th. I'm actually going to be in Utah, but I will make sure that we get the word out about that.
Yes, thank you.
Awesome.
And we can actually send you links and information about it.
Yeah, do. Send
you can, you can promote it. That'd be wonderful.
And I'll put it on the website with the copy of this show as well for more information. So, send that my way.
Awesome.
Sarah Greenfield says, you know, tell us about the Redemption Road, you know, nonprofit and your mission. So let's talk a little bit more about, you know, what that actually is and what you're doing and how you're helping these men.
So that goes back to, again, part of my story. So part of my story is that I grew up as a pastor's kid. And so I got to see both sides of church. So what I experienced in the church was a lot of people going to my dad to get help and wanting him to fix them. But
make
that's not
better.
Right. Yes, but yes. That's not really the job of a pastor.
Right.
That's the, that's the job of God.
Person, right? Yeah, yeah.
That's the job of God. God does the fixing. God does the redeeming.
Yeah.
God does the healing. And so what I saw was a lot of men over years would have the same problems continue recurring. So they would have issues with lust and porn and all kinds of things. And then they'd get a little help and they'd get a lot of guilt and shame. And they would stop what they were doing for 3-4 years and then it'd come up again. And as I began to become an adult and began to reflect on this and look at my own life and my own battles with sin, I began to realize what causes sin is pain. Pain. When I feel pain, I want some kind of pleasure to take away the pain.
Yeah. Even like food or
right. Yeah, it doesn't have to be like, right. Yeah. Something crazy.
Yeah. Social media.
Oh, right.
Absolutely.
Totally.
Yes.
So some kind of pleasure that becomes then a vice or a crutch or an addiction in the very loose sense of addiction, right? Like shopping or right, that kind of thing.
Social media addiction.
So, right.
Oh, that's gotten really bad. Yeah.
So I thought to myself, and I was praying and just talking to God about this kind of stuff. And I thought, well, how could we help men live their faith more genuinely? We could run weekends that help them get healing from these pain, from this pain, right? That's like real, like concrete healing, right? In Jesus. And so that's what the not-for-profit does. That's what Redemption Road does, is we run weekend events from Friday to Sunday. And we have right now it's for men, and the women are trying to are looking at doing some things. Right, which is really exciting.
Gathering and, yep. and talking and getting into the weeds of some of those, like right. what causes those patterns in your life.
Yeah.
Which is so cool.
And so that's really good. And so our heart is that men and women can live more full, more whole lives. Yeah. That's our heart.
Yeah. So how do men and women who are interested in this get a hold of you or find out about it or know about it? How is this being shared in the community so people know you're there?
Yeah. Right now we have a website called redemptionroad.com and they can go there. If they go to the coffee website, rrc.coffee, there's also a link to Redemption Road.
Ministry.
Okay.
Right? So either way would work. And that's the main way right now.
Yeah. We have some information on there and a contact us page.
Okay.
So they can write to us or ask us questions. We also have some podcasts that we've done.
Oh,
we haven't
yeah.
done any in the last year, but on there it kind of shares more of our heart of the vision for Redemption Road
right.
and, some of the men's stories and women's stories. Some of my story and Aaron's
yeah.
story is on our ministry page, redemptionroad.com.
Yep.
So we talked a little bit about COVID, you know,
yeah.
before we came on. And, you know, the great thing is that coffee is considered a food group. So you were essential. And I was like, yay. And,
yes.
you know, how did that affect the nonprofit? You know, because you were not able to get together, most likely.
Yeah, it actually shut it down for a year.
Mm-hmm.
So we weren't able to run any weekends because we weren't able to go to camps. And that makes sense.
Right.
I mean, it makes sense. The good news is that, the wildfires really didn't help.
Last year our fire season was
In conjunction with COVID, it was like.
Because we run them in Estes Park. Right. And so.
Oh, wow.
Our weekend was supposed to be in November. And if you remember in October, we had some major fires that came across the Continental Divide and were threatening the camp and all kinds of stuff. So, that's true. That's another thing.
That was a crazy 20. And we had a baby last year, too.
Oh, yes.
Congratulations. Thank you. So all of that.
Right.
Plus COVID shifted a lot of what our ministry looked like.
I mean, everybody shifted during.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
So while we weren't able to have weekends for the last year or so, it hasn't necessarily hurt our connection with the men and women who have been part of Redemption Road.
Okay, good.
So we can still connect with them. In fact, in I think October of last year, we started a house church, so that we could continue to connect more regularly.
Okay.
with these men. So
yeah, because during COVID, it was crazy to see how much it was just a hard year. So much shifting, so much unpredictability.
Yeah.
So it was beautiful to be able to come up with ways to stay connected and come together, because that was when we saw like everything amp up. Marriages that were having a little hard time were having a huge hard time.
That's very true.
All the people like stuff. Yes. Yes. And under the same roof, you're with your spouses and families. And what does that look like? So many shifts in dynamics and stress. And so it was a beautiful year of strengthening some of the connections of the people that were apart in one-on-one meetings. We do, we meet with people on one-on-one, just coaching and talking and refer them to counselors as needed, but just in the depth of such a season of shifting and trauma and fear, it was beautiful how we were able to still stay connected and meeting farmers markets through coffee.
Yeah.
Cause we were able to be there like face to face, yes, with the mask,
but still be present. Yeah,
absolutely. Still be present to their story. So, yeah.
Donna in Westminster asked a question, and we actually talked about this because I didn't know what this meant.
Yes.
Do you nitrogen flush your ground coffee bags?
That's what a good question.
So the science behind coffee and coffee going stale is that coffee oxidizes.
Okay.
Like think about like a rusting car or a rusting piece of steel. It oxidizes. And when coffee oxidizes, it takes the flavor away, essentially the smell and the flavor.
Yeah.
And so when you grind coffee, you release all of these great odors and all of the great flavor, which is why people love fresh coffee so much more than pre-ground per se, right? But the oxygen can take away the flavor, right? And make your coffee taste less bright.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you nitrogen flush it, then you flush the oxygen out of it and you put nitrogen in it. So it makes your coffee taste fresher longer.
No,
That's the science behind it.
Yeah.
And the fun news is actually this week
that's crazy timing on that question.
We got a sealer that nitrogen flushes our coffee.
Yeah.
So, we will. We're so excited. We will from now on be nitrogen flushing our coffee.
So I know the bags that your coffee comes in, I mean, they are really sealed.
Yeah.
And so that's another part. Yeah. I mean, they're really sealed. So that's another part of the process is that that sealing of the coffee when it's delivered.
That's exactly right. Yep. Yeah. The top of it has a nice thick seal. And then and that's when at the time of sealing, when the oxygen is out.
Okay. And the other thing it has on there, see if I can show it to you here, is a one-way valve.
Yes, I've noticed. What is that?
So that is also to preserve freshness.
Okay.
So coffee, when it's roasted fresh for about 36 hours, degasses, right? Okay. So if we pack it right after we roast it, sometimes we have to pack it really soon. The coffee will actually expand, like the gases will be released, and these packages get real big and bloated.
Yeah.
But
little chubby cute guys.
Right. But those valves keep that gas out.
Yeah. Okay.
So it allows the gas out, but not oxygen in.
Wait, yeah. Okay. I've always wondered about that.
Yeah. Right. So then that also preserves freshness.
Okay.
Yeah.
Holly, who's from Virginia, says, can I request a special blend?
Ooh.
Jesse.
You can. What that would look like is on our website, you would order like the one pound of what you were looking for.
Okay.
And then you can put in the order notes what you were specifically looking for, and we can put that together for you.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah, some people like a decaf and something else. So, yeah.
They mix their decaf with?
Right. They want a half calf.
Yes. It's called half calf in the coffee world. Half the caffeine. So half and half. Yeah. It's a deep, deep coffee term.
Okay. Well, that's good to know though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I think as this interview goes, you're finding out how much we know about coffee.
And I'm even learning more. So the only place I've ever seen coffee roasted, I'm from California originally, Gilroy Coffee Roasting Company in Gilroy, California. And I used to work in that area. So I would go in and they had the giant coffee roasters. going in the back, you know, in the building next door, and you could smell the coffee and and watch the roasting. And I would just go in and sit just because I could smell the coffee.
Oh my goodness. That's awesome. So many people haven't seen the process
before. Yeah.
That's awesome, Dory, that you got the chance.
It was one of my favorite places that I would hang out.
And you could buy a cup of coffee there too.
And you could buy your coffee there. When that's where I would, you know, get my ground coffee, because it would be fresh right there. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's fun.
I say I'm a coffee snob, so.
Yes.
Okay. I like it.
When I travel, I take my own coffee. You know?
We do that.
Yeah. I go, what? I go, yeah, I'm not drinking that instant stuff.
we're known to smuggle a French press or a way to brew too. When we
I actually did when I went to Europe. I took a small French press because I wasn't sure.
Yes.
But then I found out in Europe, everybody drinks fresh coffee. So
yeah,
that's so true. We love the routine of what coffee brings too. Like, so if we're going someplace for soul care or away, we love to have that like grounding warm cup, like that you can wrap your hands around, and the aroma, the smell, and you know what you're expecting, and something delicious is like really refreshing to your body. It sounds like you experience the same thing.
I do. And I make extra coffee in the morning on days when it's going to be hot, because I'll make iced coffee.
Absolutely. Nice. That's wonderful. That's good. That's a good afternoon plan for coffee. Especially
it is. It's just, you know, wonderful to have. So
definitely.
Sarah in Durango says, so where do you ship your coffee to?
Everywhere.
Everywhere in the U.S. And we have now this on our bags, two coffee bags shipped for free all over the U.S. We even have one customer in Hawaii. So free shipping there, which is awesome. They used to live here and then moved out there and kept their subscription going.
How about that?
So I moved
to Hawaii.
Yeah,
I mean, not that we suffer too much here in Colorado. But.
No.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful. Can you ship overseas?
We can. Yeah. If you're looking at it.
Canada?
Yes, we actually just switched to shipping most of our coffee via FedEx. So we have a plan for shipping coffee there. I would have to get the details. So if somebody in Canada, they give us a really amazing shipping deal there.
Nice.
So if they can email me and I can get the particulars. If Canada's are interested, I'd love to look at that.
Okay. Well, I know quite a few people on the East Coast were interested in your coffee. I don't know.
Wonderful.
Happening on the East Coast, maybe they don't get the same quality of coffee that we get out here, but
it is a different coffee culture.
Yeah, it is.
It is a different coffee culture. Like, you know, like Seattle, the West Coast has a very rich coffee culture.
Yeah, like I grew up in California. I mean, it was
super rich coffee culture,
very
rich
coffee culture.
I haven't found that with some the coffee culture that I've experienced, and I don't want to speak for everybody or insult anybody, but is more like, you know, Dunkin' Donuts. Like they love Dunkin' Donuts, which is not bad, right? Whatever. That's the thing. But that's what they grew up with, right? That's what they grew up with. That's their tradition, right?
They don't know what they're missing.
That's nothing like what we're talking about here. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's just not.
Back in 2001, I think it was 2001, I had to take a business trip to Utah. I lived in California. I didn't really know much about Utah back then. And I got into the hotel and I had not brought my coffee. And Senka.
Oh.
So I actually went on a search for coffee and I found there was one coffee shop in the area. They were actually California people.
Oh, that's great.
And they had real coffee. So I would drive the 30 minutes to go to their coffee shop.
Yes, this is exactly on our vacation.
I was not, but after that, I brought my coffee every time. Yes.
Well, we always try the local shops.
That's exactly right. I was like, just going to say, we've had the same experience.
We really want to support them. Like, absolutely, we're not against them in any way. No. But like, it's tough. It's so tough.
It is.
The places.
Yeah.
or the places that do quality roasting, you know?
Yes. And you're super sad on vacation. Right. You want that like grounding, delicious, dependable experience.
Yeah.
So, that's true. Yeah.
So Liz in Oregon asked, what kind of permits are needed to be a coffee roaster?
Yeah.
Jesse, that's you.
Yeah, that's my department. That's right. It is. We've had to figure out how to work this thing, being married and into business and ministry together. We have departments.
I think you're doing a great job.
Oh, thank you. So it's variable based on what you're doing. What we do is wholesale. We have a wholesale license. So our shop is certified by the state of Colorado to be able to roast our coffee.
Okay.
Now, if we had an open like coffee shop, they required to have something called a retail food establishment.
Okay. That makes sense.
Further. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Okay. Kevin in North Carolina says, you know, what else do you provide other than coffee? And I know that you've got other things on your website. So why don't you share that a little bit?
Yeah. So we have a whole bunch of fun coffee themed accessories. Throughout the years of farmers markets, we keep running into all these people that are like, would you like a coffee soap? Yes.
Really?
Et cetera. Yeah. So I actually have a few here I can show you.
You mentioned the soap.
About the soap. Boom. This one is made by a local business that's just in Longmont. She's amazing.
Yeah.
It's a eucalyptus lavender coffee soap. So it has our coffee in it. She has it ground throughout the soap. Erin will show you in a second. Yeah. And then our whole beans sprinkled on the top of it.
Wow.
Yeah, kind of fun.
So ground coffee throughout.
Yes.
Sprinkles on top.
Yeah.
So is coffee good for the skin?
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, it's like an exfoliant.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Really?
Either use it like at your kitchen counter for your hands if you like a little scrub, or like your body in the shower for an exfoliant.
It's fun.
It's kind of fun.
Very cool.
Yeah. We've got coffee candles, and there's our coffee floating in it. Now, this is inspired by our childhood growing up. Hazelnut coffee.
Yeah.
We have a scented candle that is not our coffee, but we love it because both of our families grew up going to a major chain getting hazelnuts. So we love this.
It's kind of a sweet coffee smell.
Yeah, it's a sweet coffee smell, but it's like soy-based candle that's made by, she's actually a nurse practitioner that has a side business.
Right. So you get to support another local business.
Yeah.
Right. You can support other local businesses. Wonderful.
Yeah, it's fun. We've got coffee spice rub, which is like you can put it on meat and pork that has our coffee in it.
Yeah. And this one's made in Berthoud by another local customer company.
By Wagon Wheel Spices.
Yep.
Oh, I've heard of them.
Yeah
they're wonderful. I mean, they do a wonderful job.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've got some good lineup of spices. We've got, do you want to see, do we have time for a few more?
Yeah, keep going.
Leather mugs made by someone in Mead.
Yeah.
He's a leather worker. Kind of has
Cuts it all out. Here, I'll show you. You can keep talking about it.
Yeah. So
they stamp our logo in there. He hand sews them all.
Yeah, it's really cool.
It's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And then one of our lovely, this is made actually out of country. It's in Kenya by the Kamba tribe. It's a hand-carved spoon. We get them fair trade from them. Okay. And they're coffee scoops. It's the perfect size scoop for, like, putting it into a French press or
two
even
tablespoons.
Sugar. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it matches the instructions on the bag there.
Okay. Right.
Two tablespoons.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah.
So you could actually put, like, a little gift basket together.
We do that, yes.
Yeah. We actually have a seamstress in town. Uses our burlap bags. Do you want to grab them? Our burlap coffee bags. I was like, what can we do creatively to reuse that burlap? That's so cool because all of the burlap comes in with like different colors and the origin information. So she sews baskets for our coffee business and also coffee totes made out of the burlap. So here's one of them. This is my favorite. It's the coffee of your dreams. It's actually our water process decaf, Swiss water process decaf, but that's their tagline, which is awesome. The coffee of your dreams.
And then it comes with like a little pocket you can put the spoon in.
Yeah, so the spoon goes
Okay, so I know where I'm going to do my holiday shopping now.
Yeah, and we even have on the website, we'll have like a $100 gift basket that's like 25% off of like a set, like two mugs and two coffees,
yeah,
for gifts. So it's a perfect holiday or Mother's Day or Father's Day. Right. Yep, totally. So yeah, you can see that on our accessories page on our website.
Okay. And let's make sure, before we run out of time, let's make sure people know how to reach you for your coffee. Let's make sure they know how to reach you for your nonprofit. What's the best place for them to go to?
Yes. Do you want to?
So the coffee, is, we've tried to make it really easy. It's just rrc.coffee.
Okay.
So no dot coms.
Okay.
rrc.coffee, and it'll take you right to our coffee page. And
okay.
It's easy to navigate. There's a button that says buy coffee.
Yep. And our phone number's on there for ease, or a contact email. Page. Yep. If the phone rings, that it comes to me.
Yep.
Okay. So you can get a hold of me directly that way.
Okay.
Yep.
And what about for your nonprofit?
And that's just redemptionrow.com.
Okay.
Yep.
And then tell us
if you just drop the coffee
that's
off.
That's right. Like, boom.
Tell us again about June 7th.
Yes.
Yes. Please. We're sponsoring a golf tournament with the Kwanzaa League is putting it together. The Anchor House is what the project is for, to help fund building this building for youth that are aging out of the foster system.
Right.
So I'll make sure I send that information that we can put that up there. You can sign up to golf, or you can just sign up to stop by. There'll be raffles. Yes. We'll be handing out free cups of coffee to everybody that comes.
Yeah, just I wish it was gonna be here.
Yeah, I know.
It's actually at a country club in Broomfield.
Yeah. The range.
Yeah, called the range.
Send me that extra information. I will make sure that we get that posted on the website along with this interview, so people can continue to learn more and learn about the event that's happening on June 7th. And anytime that you have an event, make sure you send it my way. Be happy to put that out there for you.
Thank you very much.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Oh, absolutely. We didn't even get through all the questions that we're going to absolutely have to have you back again as a guest.
Part two.
Yeah, love it.
Part two, because
good, beefy questions.
They were. They were good.
There's a lot of interest. You know, I think in people, number one, wanting to get good quality coffee. I think number two, in knowing where it's coming from and who are the people behind scenes. We all know the big companies, but I do think Colorado is a state that really likes to do things locally and support our state. And even though I'm not originally from here, I've just been here since 2011. You know, it has become my home. And so I do as much as I can here in the community as well and try to support everybody.
Thank you.
So, you know, I'll definitely reach out to you and get you scheduled to have you back for part two.
That'd be fun.
Love that. And thank you for practicing what you stand for. Yes. Like, you've been ordering our coffee and supporting us.
Wonderful.
And I think that that's huge, because
I actually need to place an order before I'm leaving for a trip on June 1st.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
<That's good.
laughs> I've got to get my coffee to go.
Yes. Absolutely.
Oh, that's my a good goodness. Reminder for me to get on your website right
order it. Awesome. Hey, for ease, if you know how often you consume coffee, we do have, you can subscribe to it on our website, and then automatic delivery. And of course you can manage that like frequency, but for us,
it's also a discount.
It is 10%
off.
So for people that are interested, that's convenient. Cause
I'm
like,
look at that, then. That would be very helpful, because sometimes I forget.
I know. Same thing. We're the same way about our dog food and coffee. We got it.
I have my dog food on automatic delivery. Why do I not have my coffee on automatic
delivery? Oh my gosh. Yes.
I want to remind everybody of our guest for next week. It's going to be Mike Carlson, and he is the founder of Golden Healer Service Dogs, also a nonprofit. It is where my wonderful service dog Aspen came from. And Mike's going to talk about emotional support dogs and service dogs and therapy dogs and how they could be a benefit to you as an individual or a family or even an organization, and working with different places that these dogs can visit. He also has a volunteer program. So lots of information coming from Mike next week. And today I leave you with the saying from Aristotle, happiness depends upon ourselves. So may you have a week of happiness and many blessings to you. And I look forward to seeing you all next week on Every Voice Matters. Take care. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Every Voice Matters with Dori Francis, only on LA Talk Radio.